to the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'd be content to just keep doing what we're doing. Thank you, Lord, for refreshing this morning. Amen. Refreshing of the Holy Spirit today. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Minister this morning in this place. Touch every heart, Lord God, today. Touch that heart this morning that doesn't know you, Lord. Touch that one that's struggling. Amen. Touch that one that's just needs to be ministered to, just needs to be uplifted. How we love you, Jesus. How we love you. How we love you, Lord. How we love you, Lord. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. We can stop there this morning. This is where we left off last week as we've been starting the few messages on spiritual growth and what we can expect as believers this morning. And as we mentioned last time, and even as we've experienced already here today, that God has called us unto a relationship. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded often. You know, as a preacher, you know, when we come together in this place for worship and for the service of the Lord, it's also, you know, we're called into a relationship. And, you know, it's not enough just to come here and gain head knowledge and just, you know, receive facts. But, you know, we've come here together and to worship the Lord and understand that his presence is here. And he's as real as the one sitting next to you. Yeah. Amen. His presence is as real here today, even though you may not see him. His presence is here. Amen. And so as we've been thinking about this idea of spiritual growth, and we started off on trusting the Lord and putting our trust in him. And so maybe piggybacking off that just a little bit, as we mature in our walk with the Lord, as we grow, as last week when we were looking there in 1 John, and we looked at it from, as many have, and many of the commentaries and references that I've read through that passage, looking at three levels, you know, John there speaking to the babes in Christ, if you will, and then the young men, and then the fathers, and how that, you know, we're to desire, as Paul put it, the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. And that's our desire this morning, is just to have growth in our life, to be what we can be in Christ. Amen. And that's more like lived out. You know, you're as saved today as you'll ever be. If you've come through the door, if you've come through Jesus Christ, if you've put your faith in him, you've surrendered your life, you can't be any more saved. You're saved. I mean, your name is written in heaven, and we're thankful for that. So that's really not what this is about. This ain't about being more saved or earning your keep or any of that. It's being all that Christ has for us. Amen. It's walking in all that we can in the Lord Jesus, and seeing that maturity, and that we might that we can be productive members, right, in the family of God, and that we're not always just taking up space, but we're actually, you know. No offense to the young babes in Christ, but babes can't do a whole lot, right? They're not very productive. You got to wait till you start to mature, and then you can become more and more productive. And I don't know. I'm not saying that someone, a new convert, can't come to Christ, obviously, or they can't do something for the kingdom of God. Obviously, that's probably carrying it too far. But we do become more and more, hopefully we do anyway, more productive and more useful for the kingdom of God as we begin to move outside of that babe stage and maybe into the young child stage, and then from there into full adulthood, or as John writes here, unto the fathers, because they had known the Lord from the beginning, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And so that's how we've been looking at it. And while I'm thinking about it, you know, when we think about trust of the Lord, I've actually put a basket of stickers back there. If you need instruction on how to do it, grab one. There should be plenty. If we run out, I'll get some more. But it's just a little reminder of you. And it says, trust God, trust in God. And it goes, or it can go, on your rear or your side view mirror. Put it at the bottom, back to where they used to say objects in mirror are closer than they appear. I don't think that's there anymore. I don't think I remember seeing that for a while. Have they stopped doing that? Well, anyway, yeah. That's, don't know why, but anyway, you can put that there, or you can put it at the top. And so when you look in your side view mirror, you can be reminded to trust in God. You can also look at the car behind you, Sister Mona. Now, she said she might get focused on that and forget to look at the car. Don't do that. Still look for the car coming up on your side, but trust in God and look both ways. Okay, so they're back there in the basket. And I invite you to grab one if you have a car, or if you just want to put it somewhere. Grab one this time per person, and then if you need some more, I'll get some more. But as we think about this idea of spiritual grace, we're here in Colossians this morning, and that's where we left off, because I want us to understand that the materials have been provided. As I've already mentioned, you know, we're not talking about becoming more saved. We're not talking about earning your keep, or, you know, earning your salvation, as we might put it. But so what we have has been given unto us. Amen? We have all things pertaining to life and godliness. And so as we look here in Colossians, Paul says to the church here in verse 6, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ, so walk ye in him. So his object here is to persuade them not to swerve, or not to be removed from what they've learned of Christ. Amen. Don't turn loose of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. As you have therefore received Christ, as you did from the beginning, continue to walk in that way. Amen. Continue to believe what they had been presented. Paul was so confident of how Christ had been presented to the believers that he was giving them encouragement to continue to walk in that manner. Continue to hold on to Jesus, as we've been singing many of the songs here this morning of who Jesus is and what he is in our life, and how that Christ had been made known unto us and to them, and that we are to continue in those. I mean, continue to walk in them. And when we think of walk, it means just that. It means to walk it out, or to live out our life. So walk ye in him. Walk in Christ. Walk in Jesus. And realizing that that's exactly what we're doing. We continue in our conduct, in our walk. And so when we think about the word walk in Scripture, it often means that. It means our manner of life. So as we have received Christ, it will impact our manner of life. If it hasn't impacted your manner of life, then I've got a question if you really have received Christ. I know that sounds harsh, but that's exactly how the Scripture presents it to us. If we continue walking and living the same way, and we just say, well, I believe in Jesus, then I'm afraid that we haven't really received Christ. Even I was listening to a testimony of a preacher. This is a preacher now, that would stand behind a pulpit on Sunday morning, and he was giving his testimony how that he had received and understood the facts of Christ. He understood that Jesus had died for his sins, and that he had been risen, and he believed that. He said, I got to a point in my life when I realized that I didn't love him. And I listened to this man's testimony. He says, and so he said, I began to pray, God, increase the love that I have for you. Lord, make it deeper. Lord, help me to understand that my purpose of being here, and that you have saved me. And because of that, I'm eternally grateful and thankful. And Lord, I want to live it out in my life. And so I was just, you know, so taken back by that man's testimony to think that he could minister and preach and quote unquote serve the Lord for so many years, and then realize there was a day that he just had either fallen out of love or he just had just neglected his walk. And so this is a warning for us all. He says, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And then he says, rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up. As a tree strikes its roots deep in the earth, so our faith should strike deep into the doctrine respecting the Savior. Amen. Let your roots grow deep into that truth. And it will be that. It will be more than just a truth. It will be more than just a fact that you believe. But it will begin, if we let, it will establish us. He says, be rooted and be built up in him. So as our roots grow deeper in the doctrine of Christ, when we learn what Jesus is, then it begins to be shown upward, isn't it? So we're rooted and we're built up. Amen. As we go deeper in Christ, as we were singing the song, or someone had testified earlier or said something about deep calls into deep. I think maybe it was a song that we were singing there. You know, it's that call out that a deep relationship, a deep walk with the Lord, and not just on the surface. But he says, be rooted. Amen. Let your roots grow deep down into that truth of Christ, and then allow that to build you up. It's like a tree. You know, I planted trees years ago in my front yard, and I didn't realize what them dudes were going to do. Man, those roots go everywhere. I think it might have been the tree I planted. Kind of wish those things were gone now, but that's a different story. But the roots begin to find, they try to find water, don't they? They go to where they can find nourishment throughout the ground, and as they begin to spread out those roots, and then they go up and up and taller and taller. But if the roots weren't there, you would not see the growth at the top, would you? Amen. You've got to realize this morning that Christ is calling us to a deep walk with him, being rooted and built up. He said, and established, be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Be established. I love that prayer that the Apostle Paul gives there in Ephesians when he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's my prayer for you this morning, that you might be strengthened in the inner man. What a great prayer the Apostle Paul had there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Amen. That's our prayer this morning for ourselves. Abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Now, as we begin to think about maturity, as we begin to think about moving from that baby stage to, you know, knowing mama and daddy, dad, mama, and begin to move out past that and begin to move into a state where we begin to learn the Word of God. We begin to, you know the Word. You begin to see it working out in your life. It's a process, right? Now, like I said, we're not talking about the making of a saint. I believe that's an instant thing. I believe we're saints or we're ain'ts. We're going to talk about that binary here in a minute. The scripture says a lot about either or, right? The world might try to be non-binary. God is not non-binary. He's you're in or you're out. You're for me or you're against me. You're children of light or you're children of dark. You say, well, no, I'm sort of in the middle. No, you can't be in the middle. You're either under a blessing, or you're under a curse. You've either chosen the Lord or you've rejected your Savior. You're either on the straight way, that's narrow and leads to life, or you're in the broad way that leads to destruction. That's it. There's no middle ground. There's no option C. This is binary, and that's what that means. That means two. The scriptures is binary. Choose you this day whom you serve, Joshua said. If you're going to serve, either serve God or serve the idols. Don't mix them both. Mm-mm. No, you can't have Christ and your crystals. I say that because I saw people putting stuff about the blood moon coming up in September. Blood moon. And people saying, well, can't wait for the blood moon. I'm getting out my crystals. I'm like, what? You're getting out your crystals for what? I mean, I say crystals. I have no idea what they're for. Don't really care to know, honestly. But let me tell you, you can't mix that. I mean, you can't mix the idols. You can't mix the pagan and bring it into Christianity and say, well, I'll just take both. Now, you go down this road or you go that way. Don't bring them together. Either you're hot or you're cold. Amen? Because Jesus says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And so there it is. So as we begin to grow deep, as our roots begin to grow deeper, and our faith is established in what we know about Jesus, you will begin, as he says here, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As we grow spiritually, we will become a more thankful Christian. That's really good. You should write that down. It ain't mine. I found that somewhere, but I like it. As you grow spiritually, you will become a more thankful Christian. I like the way John Piper describes or defines thanksgiving. He defines it this way, and I'm quoting. He says, it's a feeling, an emotion, an affection in the heart. Now, stay with me. I know your feelings and emotions, sometimes I lose you. Just stay with me. That rises spontaneously in response to receiving something that will increase our enjoyment of Christ. So what he's saying there is there's a difference between saying, you know, you teach your kid to say thank you, right? They may not mean it. We just went through a birthday with a five-year-old. She received all kinds of presents. She'd open it up, look at it, set it aside and say, next one. She'd open that one, set it aside. And, you know, people watching. This is people who bought the gift. I know. I was watching. I didn't even know what I'd bought. Next one. There's mama in the background. Say thank you. Thank you. Next one. Why? Because there's a difference between being thankful and saying thank you. And so when we're talking about growing deep in Christ, thanksgiving is something that abounds out of us. It's not just the preacher saying, well, the preacher said, I got to say thank you. So thank you, Lord. No, it's because your roots have grown deep and you realize that you have nothing that God hasn't given you. You realize that all that we have is because of Jesus Christ. And because of that, the spontaneous emotion rises from the response of receiving from him. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, that I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for that, God. Yeah. Being thankful is not really a decision. Saying thank you is a decision. But being thankful, it's, as Piper says here, a spontaneous heart response to the perception of someone giving you something that's good for you. I mean, all that God has given to you, says it this way, God is able to work all things for your good. Amen. That's how we can be in the midst of a storm and still able to say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't appreciate this. I don't love it. I'm not enjoying this, but Lord, I know that you're working on me, and I know that my roots are growing deeper. Lord, they're beginning to spread out, and God, this may be hard, and this storm that I'm going through, and this wind, and this rain, and all, it's so difficult, but allow it to bring about the peaceable fruit Amen. Let it, allow it to bring out of you what God is intending it to. Don't just fight against it. You do that, don't we? We just fight against trouble. We're just like, I just don't, and I get it. I don't like it either. But just allow God to work it in your life. Because that's, if we really trust the Lord, put that sticker on your car right there. Drive another. If you really trust God, and you're in the midst of a battle, you're going through something right now, instead of just fighting against God and fighting against the situation, just say, Lord, you work it out. And God, you allow my roots to grow deep. And so that when my roots grow deeper, people will see me be built up even more. And so that thankfulness, Lord, thank you, Lord. As Romans 11 says, Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever, unto him. You can't be thankful and be prideful, can you? They're opposites. You can't, thankfulness is the very opposite of pride. Paul had to deal with that with the Corinthian church. And here's the way he said it. As they were not showing thankfulness, but they were showing pride and haughtiness and bitter backbiting. He says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Everything that we have, every good and perfect gift, cometh from above, cometh from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And it's from God. You don't have anything. Paul says, you've not anything that someone didn't give you. Well, why are you being haughty? Why are you being lifted up? Why are you beating on your chest, saying, look at what I... No. It's thankfulness. Pushes boasting out of the human heart. When we begin to see that all that we have is of God and from God. So you can't at the same time, you can't be brash and swaggering and boastful, self-sufficient, and be thankful. They're opposites. And so as we begin to mature in the Lord, as he says here, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's another thing thanksgiving is. All right. So first we see that thanksgiving is the opposite of pride. There's a second thing. You say, why are you talking so much about thanksgiving? Because that's a big sign of growing in the Lord. That's a big sign that our roots are growing deeper and we're being built up. We begin to be thankful. Our branches are going up toward heaven as our roots grow deeper in the ground. We were in the faith, in the doctrine. So thankfulness is the opposite of pride. And then secondly, thankfulness is purifying. It's purifying. And as Paul says to the Ephesian church, thankfulness, this is now, it might seem a little weird to throw this in here, but thankfulness purifies your mouth. Right? Didn't Jesus even said that? He said you can't bless God and curse man. He said you can't get good and bad water out of the same fountain. You can't be cursing on one hand and thanking on the next. Mm-mm. Thankfulness from a spontaneous reaction from the heart of someone who's received from Christ, recognizes where it comes from, it will begin to purify your lips. You know, let's look at a place here. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 3. He says, but fornication, all right, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. All right, so there's what we're not to do. How do we battle against that? How do we battle against fornication, uncleanness, covetousness? Giving thanks. But rather, give thanks. So opposite of all that garbage, Paul says, give thanks. Why? Because he understood that a thankful heart, one that realized that all that he had was received from God, And he begins to turn that thanks back to the Lord. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in my life. You will begin to, all this other stuff will just begin to go away. You don't have to battle an impure mouth when you're living a thankful life. I mean, you don't have to battle inconvenient jesting if you're giving thanks. It is amazing that Paul would contrast, you know, crudeness with thankfulness, but there he does it. All the crudeness that you see. And there's people that are sitting in the church pews today, hopefully not here, but there are people in churches this morning with crude mouths, crude jesting, maybe not in church that Sunday morning, but wait, find them on their job on Monday morning. Not a thankful heart. It's they just don't go together. So Paul's answer here is that their hearts are, they're not brimming with an humbleness, but Piper put it, a happy Thanksgiving. I probably wouldn't have put those two together, but I like it. A happy Thanksgiving. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not real poetic, but I like it. Happy Thanksgiving. A happy Thanksgiving. Sounds a little cheesy even, but there it is. Lord, give me a happy Thanksgiving. A heart of that's bubbling with your goodness. All right, so we see that thankfulness is purifying. So we see thankfulness is opposite of pride. We find that it's purifying. And then thankfulness considers how everything is a gift. Thankfulness considers how everything is a gift. Little children don't see that. Little babes in Christ may not recognize that as much. Maybe they do. That's great. But as we begin to mature in the Lord and we consider that all that we have is not because of what we've done or what we're owed, that even as the Apostle Paul there told those people there in Athens, that it's in him, it's in God that we live and move and have our being. He's not worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Now, Paul's saying those words to a pagan bunch of people. They had idols setting up all through the city. And there he goes to those pagan worshipers and says, God has given you life, breath, and all things. How does he know that? Well, because Jesus said that. He says, as your heavenly Father, bless those who curse you. Do good for those who spitefully use you. Be like your Father. Be the children of your Father who causes it to rain upon the just and the unjust alike. There's people in our world today that's cursing God, denying God with the very breath that he provided for them. Should we in any way neglect to praise him with the breath that he's given us? This morning, as we've come together and singing to songs of praise, we begin to lift up our voices to him and we say, Lord, thank you. Lord, let everything that hath breath praise you, the Lord. I mean, why does the writers tell us that? Because the breath came from God. He giveth all to all life and breath and all things. So we consider that everything is a gift. That's a third point of thankfulness. We consider everything is given of us. Paul says in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So when we're walking in light of the truth, there's no emotion more common in the Christian heart than that of thankfulness. All right, so we can move past that this morning when we think about it, so that we consider the vastness of what Christ has done for us, the benefits of serving God. Daily he loads us with his benefits. Now, I'm going to just be honest with you this morning. I don't think I know them all. I think there's a lot of the benefits of God that I haven't walked in. I mean, there's things. I still worry and fret over stuff. I mean, I still, you know, sometimes I think about death and I think, ooh, I ain't looking forward to that day. But as we mature in the Lord and we begin to grow in Christ, our roots begin to grow deeper in the doctrine of Christ, and then we can stand up and be like Paul. He says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Man, I'm ready to put off this, my tabernacle, as Peter said. I'm ready to put it off. They just looked at it like changes from one state to another. As we grow in our walk with the Lord, we'll begin to see that. And death might not seem like such a terrible enemy when we think we're just changing from one location to another. Now, obviously, you know, my problem with it is I'm kind of used to this. And I don't really know what that's going to be like. I don't. But I know one thing, that it's going to be good. It's going to be more than I could ever think. And so as we begin maturing in the Lord, we don't become morbid, and we don't, you know, it's not like we say, well, I'm just going to die, I'm going to die. But when we see a fellow Christian leave this world, it's not all mourning. It's not all grief. Now, it is for us, maybe, in the sense that we'll miss them, you know. But then we say, hey, you know what? I'm going to see him again one day. If I, too, have given my life to the Lord, if I've gone through the door, if I'm on the side of the kingdom of God and on the side of his child, being his child, then I know that the grave's not the end. I mean, it's just as Peter put it, this I'm putting off. He said, it's time for me to put off. It's like taking off a jacket. And so we consider the vastness of the benefits that Christ has given us. But my God, Paul says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's why I say, I don't think I've walked in it all. I don't think I'll comprehend all the benefits. I'm in them. You know, it's like that cell phone you got. It's got a lot of things in it. I can't work them all. They're there. But I don't know how to accept probably half of them. But I know the ones I use, I like. Well, you know, that's probably a poor analogy, but when you think about our walk with the Lord, there's a lot that we have in Christ. Lord, let us grow deep. Let our roots grow deep. Let us grow upward. So we want to be patient, be faithful, be thankful in all things, at all times. We were made for this. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right, let's go back to Colossians 2 again. He says, beware. There's a warning. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of the world, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's the warning this morning. He says, beware. Let's take note of this morning. Beware. Let us beware, every one of us, young and old alike. Let's beware that we don't allow the world to mold us into its way of thinking. That we don't adopt the world's philosophy, the world's... You're surrounded by it every day, right? Hold on to the truth of God. Hold on to the fact that we were made, mankind was made for the glory of God. What's the purpose of mankind? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. You were made to glorify God. That's our purpose. That's our reason. God made everything for his glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Everything God made, he made to give him glory. That includes you sitting here this morning. See, I'm trying to find my purpose. I'm trying to find my meaning in life. I'm trying to find my direction. If you're a young person here this morning, you've got a great opportunity. Lord willing, I hope and pray that you've got days ahead of you. Don't waste them on things that don't matter. Don't waste it on things that will amount to nothing. But take your life and allow it to fulfill the purpose from which it was created, which is to glorify God. Give glory unto the Lord. Glory to the God, just as the angels spoke there to the shepherds on that hillside. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Even Christ came to glorify God. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Be honored, Lord God. Help me this morning. Put your hand on your heart and pray with me. Lord God, let my life glorify you. Lord, let my words glorify you. Let my thoughts glorify you. Let my steps, Lord, bring glory to your name. All that I do, all that I say, Lord, let it bring glory to your kingdom. Amen. That's that wonderful doxology there, the formula for praise that Paul gives us there in Romans chapter 11. As he begins to write, he says, "Oh, the depths and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him that it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." I mean, what a formula for praise there of our God, right? Amen. That's the issue this morning that really unlocks our spiritual growth, if we understand that we live to the glory of God. Amen. We live to the glory of God. To live for the glory of God means to honor him. It means to honor him by our living according to his will, according to his commands, according to his purposes. Reflecting his character. That was really one of the big, I guess really the ultimate condemnation of Romans 1, wasn't it? That they weren't bringing glory to God. Romans 1:21 says, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart were darkened." You know what they did? They refused to glorify God. That's a serious matter. When we refuse to give glory to God, look, if you read the results there of Romans 1 of what took place, God gave them over. God gave them up. You know what I mean? It didn't mean that God took and led them into sin. If we read that into it, we've gone the wrong direction. What God will do when we cease to give him glory, this is my words, but he just sort of moves out of the way. He moves out of the way and let man over to his own devices. And you know what that leads to? Watch the news tonight. Yeah. Looking at the clock. This is a sticky issue. It takes time. But you want to see what happens? He says it gives them over to their vile affections. Vile affections. Unnatural. Ungodly. Man with men burning in their lust one to another. That's scripture. That's not me. That's Bible. Doing that which is inconvenient. Doing that which is against the very creation of God, the very created order of God. If people come and say, well, try to argue what the Bible says about homosexuality. It doesn't argue the point. It never does. Matter of fact, what it does is it uses it. Listen to me. If you're not buying into this morning, because you've already bought into the philosophy of the world, you've been pulled away. It uses it as an indication of how far man has fallen. When we begin to see the corruption that we're seeing in our land today, it's God saying, have at it. Thank you. That's how God feels about it. How far had man fallen when they didn't give glory to God? Well, if you're not in Romans, you can see it here. It says, they changed the truth of God into a lie, verse 25 of Romans 1, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, disgraceful passions or desires. Maybe you want to turn there this morning just so you can see this. I'm not making this up. Romans 1, verse 26. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, or the created order, that which procreates, right? That's what causes societies to flourish. That's what causes families to come about, a man and a woman together. They leave the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, or that which was fitting. I'm reading from Albert Barnes here directly. He says, it would scarcely be credible that man had been guilty of a crime so base and so degrading unless there was an ample and full testimony to it. Perhaps there is no sin which so deeply shows the depravity of man as this, none which so much induce one to hang his head and blush to think himself a man. That's Barnes, quoting Barnes. Let's go back to the warning. Verse 8, Colossians 2, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All those other things can get so convoluted and so confusing when you start talking about philosophies, vain deceits, and traditions of men, and rudiments of the world, and all that. And that's on one side. And you know what's on the other side? Christ. Not after Christ. So how do I reject all this? Go after Christ. Amen. Go after Jesus. Pursue Jesus. I mean, he's there. He's willing. He's made the way that you and I can have that relationship with him, that we can be in Christ Jesus our Lord and not be caught up in all this other garbage and not be brought about by the world's philosophies. Guard against it. Beware. I'm living there this morning. Beware. I'm going to say this and I'm getting off of that. All right. If you have found yourself lightening up on the created order, then you're going in the wrong path. If you found yourself, now, here's the thing that God has called us to do. He's called us to demonstrate his character. I mean, he's called us to show forth his love. Now, you know, we don't drop the hammer, and we can't condemn in a sense that we don't pass the final judgment. That's God's business. We don't do that. We can't do that, right? We can show the love of God, we can show the way, and we can point people in the direction that they need to go. Now, after that, there's not much else. It's in the Lord's hands. God's going to work on the heart, and he can break out. He can, the stony heart, he can put in a heart of flesh. But when we begin to see the seriousness of showing forth the glory of God, and we show forth the glory of God when we walk according to his precepts. I am the Lord thy God, Isaiah says. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither praise to graven images. You're made to glorify God. Don't take that and give it to someone else. Amen. Glorify God with your life. Glorify God with your work, with all that we do. Amen. Lord, let it bring glory to your name. We've got a lot more we could look at this morning, but we're going to wrap it up there, maybe pick it up again next week. But as we let the Word of God just minister to us this morning, because Paul goes on to say there, for in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's think about who Jesus is. That word Godhead, I know I've probably dealt with it before, but it's not so much a thing, You know, we think of the Godhead. It's some actually interpret it this way, and I like it. It's Godhood, meaning everything that makes God God. His omniscience, omnipotence, unchanging, all the things that make God God. When we talk about the Godhead, we're talking about every attribute that sets God apart, if you will. He's other than us, right? So when we think about Christ, all the fullness that make God God dwelt in Christ bodily. And ye are complete in him. You're complete in Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. All that God is, Christ is this morning. When we glorify his name, just as with the songs we've been singing here this morning and talking about the greatness of our God, we said, as I guess it was Paul that did it this way, he set forth Christ as the ultimate example. Man, Jesus has been set forth to us as the ultimate example of spiritual maturity, the ultimate example of humility, the ultimate example of thanksgiving. I mean, he did it in Hebrews 12 there, after he'd come through the Hebrews 11, what we call the heroes of the faith, or the hall of faith, or however you want to identify that. And he moves over into chapter 12, and he sets apart Christ from all these others. You know, he's talking about Moses and Jacob and fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and all those. And then he gets to chapter 12, and he says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. He says this, I've given you all these examples. Let me give you the ultimate example. Jesus Christ. Amen. I told Sister Mona, we were getting on my message a little bit this morning, talking about glory, when talking about how that, you know, some people begin to lift themselves up and beat their own chest and saying, I'm this or I'm that. Look at Jesus. If I ever do that, then you'll say, well, you know what? You've gotten off step. I'm looking into Jesus. Look at how Jesus presented himself. He made of himself no reputation. He was made in the likeness of man. Took upon him the form of a servant. And when our maturity level begins to increase and we grow spiritually, that becomes more obvious. You know, a lot of times we'll think of the mature one as being the brash one that's standing out front and beating their chest and saying, I'm a faithful believer in Christ, and blowing, you know, their own horn and all. I can't see Jesus doing that. He didn't do it. I don't remember Paul ever saying that. Paul says, you know, one say you're Paul, one say you're Apollos. One say, oh, I'm really spiritual, I'm of Christ. He says, who are we? That's Paul. That's Paul's spirit. And Jesus, how'd he demonstrate it to us? You want to see what spiritual maturity looks like? Look at Christ. Bruised, we read, he wouldn't break. Smoking flax, he wouldn't extinguish. And little children, come unto me. Such is the kingdom of heaven. A leper, I'm going to go over here and touch this leper. Oh, you're out of wine? Okay, bring me the water. Amen. I'm going to heal you. Don't tell anyone. Don't spread it around. He could have. He could have been like those TV evangelists with the microphones. And come here. You haven't walked for how long? I haven't walked for how long? That's not Christ. How's that? That's a sideshow. Man, Christ Jesus has come and said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Looking unto Jesus. That's what we're doing, isn't it? That's this morning. We're looking unto Jesus. Lord, what am I to look like as a mature Christian? Look to Jesus. How's he look? Is he beating his chest? Is he going about? No. The author and finisher of our faith. He's the originator. He's the perfecter. Fix our gaze on him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Undefeated, undisputed, looking unto Jesus. He's never lost. He started off by talking about a race. He said, the race set before you, right? How are you going to run this race? Well, look to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you for your presence, God, that we felt here today, how wonderful it is, God, to take of your water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thank you for that promise today. God, we just pray that we'll just take this with us this morning, and God, allow it to overflow into our lives and to the people that we come in contact with, Lord, that they'll see Christ Jesus in us. As our eyes are fixed upon you, Lord, as we look unto Jesus, the perfecter and the finisher, the author and the finisher of our faith, God, as we look unto you, Lord, may they begin to see our growth, see our good works, and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Not us. We recognize this morning, Lord, if we're looking for the glory, then our desires are misplaced. When we're looking for the credit, when we're looking for the position, we're not living to the glory of God. When we're looking for the praises and accolades of the world, we're not living for the glory of God. Or let these warning signals just go off in our mind. And let us live for your glory. Live for your glory. For the purpose that we were created, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Let your word hit the mark this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's all stand again today.